Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Well, we come to you on this Monday with Indiana victorious for the first time in a number of weeks. And I can tell you, I didn't see this one coming, and I think many of you did neither. But Indiana goes on the road Saturday evening for a game at Michigan State. They battle. They're in the game throughout the contest. They've got some tough moments to work through with injuries and scares, and they end up in overtime and then win overtime 79-75. I tell you what, it's just amazing how the game of college basketball works. It's really amazing how sports work in general. Michigan State's really good, and I know they've had some struggles of their own, losing Josh Langford for the season recently, and he's a big part of that team. But I did not see Indiana show any glimpse of being able to really even compete with a team at the level of Michigan State or Michigan or a team like that at the top of the Big Ten Conference. And it's not just been a couple games that these struggles have been going on. It's been really the whole month of January. But what does Indiana do? They come out. They play much differently. Deron Davis logs a lot of minutes. He was a big part of the win. Juwan Morgan before the shoulder injury, which obviously is concerning for a number of reasons. What could happen with him moving forward? No real update on that to this point, but he has a solid game. Romeo Langford got back on pretty solid footing Saturday as well, hitting some big shots in key moments, including that step-back three-pointer again, which gives you a kind of a glimpse of what you might remember Romeo doing in the high school season. He's had those moments where he's made a couple big shots or got into a little rhythm where he has done some scoring from various parts of the floor like we all know he can do. And he's had big games. You know, he's averaged, his average is still good. He's had some games way above his average, but we'll see if he can kind of get uncorked here a little bit over the final month of the regular season, and if that Michigan State win not just can help Romeo, but the rest of this team really try to save the season. I know a couple people wrote in their post-game recaps that this was potentially a season-saving win for IU basketball, and it has that type of magnitude to it. I mean, you don't want to – I don't think I had counted this team out. I don't know about you, but at some point when you're losing to everybody in the conference and you've on a seven-game slide, it doesn't matter if it is a top-level conference opponent or someone in the middle or the bottom. Indiana was not playing well, and they were losing. And if Indiana doesn't, and I say doesn't because they've got to continue to do this, if they don't occasionally – over the rest of this conference schedule, pick up some wins against teams that you don't expect them to beat, this season will be over as far as its hopes for NCAA tournament appearance, which there's some work to do to get back up to that range, but it's possible, I believe. And you want to talk about a big game, you know, I can say this every week when we look at the schedule, what's ahead for the week. You can make a reason why every week or every game are big games for this team, but coming back off of a win that they shouldn't have got probably at East Lansing and now coming home to take on Iowa and then Ohio State within a four-day period at home, those are games that I think they can win and if definitely can win if they play as they did at Michigan State on Saturday. No question about it. I mean, you know, we're talking about teams like Iowa that are very good, very solid, but Michigan State's really good. They've got, you know, NBA-level players across the board. Not every single one, but they've got a number of guys that will either play in the NBA or are NBA prospects that will play professionally somewhere in the world at a high level. So a huge win for Indiana for multiple reasons this weekend on Saturday. It's just what the team needs, obviously. It's just what the players need, obviously. It's just what the coaches need, obviously. We'll see if this is a building moment for them as well. Devontae Green back, I should say that as well, in the lineup on Saturday as well. Very interesting. But, you know, obviously this is what the team needed. And probably more importantly, and maybe that's not true, but in many ways, the fan base needed it because things were starting to come off the rails and maybe still are in many ways because there was a 7-game losing streak that we can't completely forget about now that Indiana beats Michigan State on the road Saturday. But the fan base was coming off the rails, calling for a coach's job who's been there a year and a half. And in that year and a half, while there have been some struggles, especially this season, he's recruited his butt off. He's made some big lands. The future does look bright for this program, despite the 7-game slide that Indiana experienced. And the social media nuttiness, I don't even know what the right word is, but it was getting nutty. It really was. It was getting nutty. And maybe this can help. We'll have to see. So Indiana, a huge win for a number of reasons on Saturday. And again, if I was a betting person, I would have lost a lot of money on this game because I saw no opportunity after that Rutgers performance on what was that early in the week on Wednesday. I saw no opportunity for Indiana to go on the road and really beat just about anybody in the conference, especially Michigan State or Michigan, someone of that caliber. So very surprising win in a very, very good way. And again, some good news, some surprising good news. That's what this team needed, no question about it. So we'll talk a lot about that game today, a lot to get to coming out of the weekend as well. It'll be a fun show and a fun week as we get ready for two IU home games this week, as I mentioned, Iowa on Thursday and Ohio State on Sunday. Both of those, again, at Assembly Hall. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got our Hoosier headlines, our news of the day, a couple things on the IU-Michigan State game. We'll also talk some of the high school results coming out of the weekend as well. The headlines each day are presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Segment two, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. He was at the game, as he is every IU game on Saturday, covering things for the Star, and he'll join us to recap the IU win and to talk about the momentum that this team has and what could happen moving forward now that something positive has happened, a win, and it's a big win for the team. So we'll catch up on that. I'll see if he knows anything or has any thoughts on Juwan Morgan and his shoulder over the weekend. That's obviously very concerning for IU fans. And take the game out of it, take the team, the win-loss, the NCAA tournament opportunity. He has had so many issues with his shoulder. If he's going to sprain his ankle, that's part of the game. You know, anything can happen when you're playing sports. But to see the same type of injury, potentially, I have no idea. I know he left the floor, came back, was on the bench. I would think that that's a pretty good sign. Fingers crossed for him. That he just does not need another injury that keeps him out and ends or shortens or whatever his remaining college basketball career, especially for him trying to work toward a professional opportunity at some level as well. That's going to be a big for him to finish this season strong for his individual future in addition to the programs as well. So we'll talk about that some with Zach as well. Later in the program, we'll be joined by Chad Gilbert. He's the Charlestown Athletic Director and an IHSA Executive Board member. Boys basketball sectionals are forthcoming. Girls sectionals are in the book or will be in the book. You've got some Monday night championship games tonight. We'll talk about that as well. And we'll get ready for some other basketball topics. As it's hard to believe we're February 4th today. Sectionals begin February, is it 28th? I think the Tuesday night, the 28th. And then March Madness is coming up with everything, high school and the NCAA tournament. We're getting ready to enter the best time of the year for basketball nuts like us here in Southern Indiana. And so we'll kind of start to get ready for that as well. There's a couple other basketball topics I want to hit with Chad when he's with us today. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, if you mention our radio show, the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Three-way tie, just a Big Ten note, three-way tie at the top of the Big Ten Conference. I've said this all along this season. This is obvious for anyone that's watched IU games or that follows the conference at all. This has been a real treat, even though Indiana's had a bad stretch here. I don't want to call it a bad season, but a bad stretch. There have been some tremendous Big Ten Conference games and battles, and with the three-way race at the top of things, we are going to be treated to, although Indiana likely or will not be in some of these, defining conference games down the stretch. But it's we're going to be treated to some really big, exciting matchups with a lot on the line as far as the Big Ten Conference regular season title goes. And I'll tell you what, you know, we got to think about the Big Ten tournament. It's not that far away either. That could be just be a tremendous week of basketball. You know, Indiana, if they can beat Michigan State after losing to seven other conference opponents, and you see Rutgers has beat people, Ohio State has beat people, Penn State took Purdue to overtime looking for their first conference win a couple nights ago back late last week, and then end up losing it big in overtime to Purdue. But I think the conference tournament could just be outstanding as far as a competitive level and some upsets early on. And I think right now if you're an Indiana fan, you have to hope that they get a decent draw in the tournament and that they're able to win a couple games or maybe put a run together. Maybe they knock off somebody, a higher seeded team in that tournament like they did Michigan State on Saturday, if things continue to click from this point forward. But I think regardless of Indiana's finish in the regular season and regardless of what happens in the conference tournament from an IU perspective, the Big Ten Conference and the race at the top is going to be just tremendous to watch unfold. There are some great coaches. There are some great teams. There are some great players. And maybe some of you don't care at all if Indiana's not in it. But I tell you what, the Big Ten Conference is going to be – it's been fun, and it's going to be a real treat to follow here over the next few weeks as well, and really the next month or so as we head into postseason play. One note from the IU game. I know I kind of covered a lot of my thoughts, at least, in the opening segue there. But Deron Davis, I think you got to look at him. He appears to be back healthy. He played 25 minutes in the win for Indiana over Michigan State on Saturday. And I saw Alex Bozich with Inside the Hall tweet this out yesterday. He had 25 minutes in the game Saturday night. His total Big Ten minutes prior to the Saturday night win at Michigan State, 27. So only two more minutes has he logged in Big Ten play from all the conference games, and then, of course, 25 alone in the game against Michigan State. I think if he can stay healthy and if he can stay in shape or get maybe in even better shape because he's been out so much, he might finally be able to – and he's had his moments. I don't want to act like he's not helped this IU team or program. Because he has over the years. He's had some big games at times. I can think back to the Duke game last year and some other moments. But he could finally maybe really find his role and way on this team to some fairly consistent minutes for the rest of this season. Also, a couple high school notes from over the weekend. I mentioned that girls sectionals are going on or some of them are concluded. How about in Class A, Lanesville, Angie Hinton and Joe Hinton, of course, Joe, the former legendary coach at Floyd Central, who was so successful with that program over the years. Then they went to Paoli. Then they went to North Harrison Girls and found success there, helping that program. Now Angie, the head coach at Lanesville, they've got a lot of young talent, I understand, coming up at Lanesville. And Angie and Joe back on the bench again. And what do you know, Lanesville wins a sectional championship in girls basketball. I think it was their first ever girls sectional championship on Saturday night as well. Also in 4A tonight, that game, Bedford North Lawrence will play at New Albany. They will take on Jennings County. They should have a fairly easy path to the regional. Guess where the regional's at for Bedford if they win tonight? It's at Bedford North Lawrence, so they potentially could set up for a big run into the tournament once again as well, with the local teams out of that sectional with New Albany, Jeff, and Floyd all eliminated earlier in the weekend in the semifinal or first round rounds of that tournament. But some girls sectional finals tonight across the state. A couple boys notes. New Albany, after that big win, a blowout win over a lackluster Jennings County team on Thursday, got a real test on Saturday. You play Saturday afternoon, it gets you out of whack. A Thursday night, Saturday afternoon schedule allows the girls to have the spotlight on Friday and Saturday nights. Of course, the weather messed that up a bit, bumping some of the finals back to tonight. But that game in the afternoon at Columbus East and that Orange Pit Gymnasium with that orange and brown everywhere, it's a tough place to play. And New Albany nearly was defeated in that game. They were escaped out of that with a, I think, a three-point victory. Combined 34 points from Derek Stevenson and Julian Hunter. Hunter had 17 points in the first half. He was kind of the star of the game for the Bulldogs in the first half. Stevenson had like 2 points in the first half, came back in the second half, hit a couple three-pointers, and played really well. So it was kind of a tale of two different players, each in different halves, to lead New Albany. But they get out of Columbus with a win over Columbus East. That's a big Hoosier Hills Conference win. It also gives Columbus East their first conference loss, although they still have a number of conference games left to play, and opens the path up for maybe Jeffersonville, or I should say maybe Floyd Central, likely to win the Hoosier Hills Conference at this point, with the, because Floyd Central, they hosted Bedford on Friday. People thought that might be a really good game after Bedford knocked off Jeffersonville a few weeks ago down at Jeff, and it wasn't. Floyd Central absolutely just soared away from Bedford North Lawrence with a dominant victory. It was 69-36 was the score. That really puts Floyd Central in the driver's seat for the Hoosier Hills Conference. Another big performance by Kobe Barnes in that game as well to lead the Highlanders. I want to close this first segment with more of a personal note. I run the Floyd County Elementary Basketball League, and years ago when New Albany Floyd County Public Schools moved fifth graders to the middle schools at Scribner and Hazelwood and Highland Hills, they eliminated elementary sports. You know, just because fifth graders were a big part of that elementary sports program. So it really left a void somewhat for fourth graders who had the opportunity to at least try out for those fourth, fifth, and sixth grade teams many years ago. And then it became just fourth and fifth when sixth grade went up to middle school. But we got it going again through the Floyd County Parks and Recreation Department. It's been kind of my baby to bring it along, to work with the coaches. Jim Shannon at New Albany was very vocal in helping get that program back so that there was an opportunity for kids across the nine elementary schools, 6 feet to New Albany, 3 feet to Floyd Central, to have an opportunity to play basketball. And yesterday, this weekend, was what we call the Floyd County Championship Tournament, and it was played at Scribner Middle School with two courts. And I want to give a shout-out to a couple people, because on Sunday we had the semifinal games, we had the girls and boys county championship games, and then we had the all-star games to close the day. And I try to do what I can to make it neat with the lights and the spotlight and the music and things that maybe an elementary kid never gets to experience. Some of them will go on to play and have great success, we hope, in sectionals and state tournaments. Others may never make the team or might be in another activity or another sport when high school gets here. That's fine too, but they can still look back and have a really good elementary basketball memory. But how about this? Jim Shannon of New Albany, the boys coach, he's courtside for the games yesterday, talking to all the kids, making them feel great, telling them about, you know, the future coming to New Albany and his program if they're one of the New Albany schools. On the opposite end of the floor, you've got Todd Sturgeon of Floyd Central. He is sitting courtside watching his Floyd Central elementary schools play in the boys' game, talking with the team after the game. You've got both girls' coaches, Tammy Guerin of New Albany and Randy Jean Fagna of Floyd Central. Both of those coaches lost key sectional games, and anytime your season's over, you lose in the sectional. The last thing you probably want to do is go out and face families and parents and kids, but they both came. They were both positive. They both supported the girls and were encouraging to them, took pictures with the teams after the games. Kobe Barnes makes an appearance to talk with the boys and girls teams from Floyd's Knobs yesterday and encourage them in the championship games. And just a really special day. New Albany's really starting lineup was there for the most part to sit behind the bench of the Grantline boys team. So I bring that up because it's a personal program to me. It's one that, again, has kind of been my baby. But you sit back and look at all the key people, and that's just Floyd County. There's many similar examples that go on at Jeffersonville and Silver Creek with those coaches there where they support their young kids. And I think that's a reason why basketball matters here in Southern Indiana. Maybe even in other parts of our state, when it slipped a little bit, we're still a basketball state. It's because they get with them young. They know who the coaches are. They want to wear that New Albany or that Floyd Central or that Jeffersonville or whatever uniform it is when they're a young kid. And kudos not just to the four New Albany Floyd County coaches, but to all of our area coaches that put time into their feeder programs and to attending elementary finals and middle school games and some of the things that you really don't get thanked for or recognized for. It was just a great display yesterday, and I want to give a congratulations to a couple teams as well. Mount Tabor, the girls team, went all the way to the county championship and won. Emily Robison was the MVP of that tournament yesterday. They were kind of an upset special. They got past Grantline in the semifinal. It knocked off a very, very good Floyd Snobbs team in the championship game. On the boys' side of things, Landon Reed, the MVP, he led Floyd Snobbs to the championship with a big performance on Sunday afternoon. They beat Grantline, kind of a battle of New Albany and Floyd Central. Maybe future stars in that game. Who knows? They're awful young now, but some really, really good talent. Noah Washington stands out on Grantline, just a third grader. And I know it's crazy to talk about third graders, but I want to give them their due as well and tell them they had a great tournament and it was a lot of fun to be around. And thanks to those coaches and Kobe and everyone else who came out to make it a very special week. And thanks as well to the Floyd County Parks and Recreation Department. That wraps up the headlines presented by Hoosiers Hoopsters Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights and a live band on Saturday nights as well. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, it's where fun happens. And I guess, Doug, before I get out of here for the commercial break, I should thank Lee Kelly. He called the games yesterday on the Big X. Yes, we broadcast the elementary championship from the Floyd County Elementary Basketball League Finals. And, Doug, you were the producer in here for most of the day. And so we appreciate the work of both of you guys as well. Doug Wolverton, Lee Kelly helping with the broadcast yesterday. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with more Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Monday program. I always look forward to the opportunity to have Zach Osterman on. He's the IU insider for the Indianapolis Star and kind enough to join us as we kickstart the week with our Monday program. And, Zach, I guess it's especially fun to talk with you when we've got some really positive news, some good news coming out of the weekend with Indiana going to East Lansing and coming out with a big, big win that I'm not sure anyone across the state, IU fan or not, saw coming.
No, I don't think anybody did. I mean, Indiana was about a 14 and a half point underdog, just depending on, I guess, where you were looking for your odds going into the game on Saturday. And, you know, it was a weird game in a way, but I think Indiana made it a weird game. And what I mean by that was Indiana never really, the two things that you felt like every Big Ten coach was telling their team when they played Indiana, number one, start fast. I know every coach says we want to start fast, but, you know, with these guys, really, really try to start fast because they start slow and you can put a run into them before they're really up and ready for the game. And number two, they'll show you their jaw at some point. At some point, they'll drop their gloves and they'll show you their jaw. And if you're ready for that and you capitalize on it, you can land a punch that they can't recover from. And you felt like Michigan State tried to do that in a number of different ways, a number of different times, but really was never allowed to. And that was to Indiana's credit. And obviously there were a lot of different ways that Indiana overcame some of the challenges on Saturday. There were certainly a couple ways in which Indiana was fortunate, which is probably always going to be the case if you beat a top 10 team on the road in the Big Ten, even if you yourself are a good team. But ultimately, I mean, I thought Indiana over the, I guess, 45 minutes was good value for its win.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, our guest. There's been a lot of talk, you know, about the X's and O's and the offense and the lack of defense that was really good earlier in the year at times, the basketball stuff. But they're also over this slide for Indiana heading into Saturday's game has been a lot of talk about confidence of this team and the effort, just the absolute raw effort of this team at times on simple hustle plays. You were there. What did you notice different with those two non-X's and O's things that are so important when you're playing in a conference like the Big Ten and against teams night in and night out, whether it's Michigan State at the top or Rutgers or Penn State at the bottom, that can challenge anyone on any given night and often play hard to make up for some of their lack of talent maybe?
Yeah, I mean, there definitely was a little bit more juice, a little bit more energy. I thought more leadership. You know, Archie Miller kind of said something. There was a comment he made in the post game that I think just kind of got lost in the frenzy of updates on Juwan Morgan's injury and trying to, you know, all of us trying to get things together to start writing our stories on deadline. But he said something about how, you know, Indiana's had some issues with leadership that they'd worked out, or that he didn't think would be a problem anymore. It was just kind of a passing comment, but it was interesting. It kind of just sort of caught my ear. And I think that, look, again, that's kind of one of those where, from Indiana's perspective, you're not going to win that game, even if you aren't on a seven-game skid, if you don't do some of that intangible stuff. On the other hand, it's also I think sometimes fans want to remove the tangible from the intangible and sort of separate them into different things, but, like, they're kind of the same. And, you know, this is an argument, or at the very least, they're not the same, but they are interrelated. Like, this is an argument I'll make forever about three-point shooting. As much as any coach says we want to start on defense, we want everything to start with our defense, that's where we're going to set the tone, yeah, that's fine, but, like, there's not a player in America that isn't a little bit more confident and a little bit more comfortable when they see a couple three-point shots go down. And, you know, it's easy to say you're hustling when you're getting to the loose ball, as opposed to maybe you're diving on the floor, but you're getting to it second, you're picking up a foul, you're allowing a fast break. You know, you're on a, suddenly you're down a 6-0 run, that kind of thing. I'm not saying that all of Indiana's kind of luck came around in one night, but you did feel, listening to Archie Miller talking about his team through that losing streak. And it's worth pointing out that other than those comments, those sort of soft and scared comments he made after the Michigan game, which he made in a very sort of level-headed way, there's never been a moment in all this when Archie has seemed overly passionate, you know, fired up, emotional. It's always been just kind of level-headed and analytical in its own way. But other than those comments after the Michigan game, you have felt like Archie Miller sees a team that isn't as far away as some of the results would indicate, but that just those last, like that last 3 to 5% needs to click into place everywhere. Ball movement on offense, talking on defense, better work on the glass, get some threes to fall, all those kinds of things. And it did sort of feel like maybe that 3 to 5% all fell into place for Indiana kind of at once on Saturday.
We're talking with Zach Osterman. Zach is the Indiana insider, the IU insider, I should say, for the Indianapolis Star, and is with us Mondays on the show. Deron Davis logged a lot of minutes on Saturday night and was really a key part of the game overall. How do you think he could help the team moving forward, and could he maybe really find a role on this team the rest of the way if he stays healthy?
I mean, I think he absolutely find a role if he stays healthy. And there's a big if to that. You know, I mean, one of the first things he said to us was, when we talked to him post-game, was he said, I feel like I'm always talking to you guys about injuries and about, you know, getting healthy. But I think that, I mean, first of all, the obvious was he gave Indiana a post presence to kind of throw at Nick Ward with Juwan Morgan out. And I thought Jake Forrester, you know, gamed his way through as best he could in less than ideal circumstances. But you understand why Jake Forrester is going to struggle against Nick Ward in that setting and under those conditions. But Deron Davis, frankly, probably outplayed Nick Ward. And Archie Miller admitted after the game he never would have expected Davis to be able to play 25. I think it was 25 minutes and change by the end of the night, but he scored more points than Ward. He had as many rebounds as Ward. He had 4 assists. He was Indiana's second leading plus-minus guy at +8. It's interesting that Devontae Green was +10. So that junior class that Indiana's been missing for a couple weeks now winds up being the kind of the driving force in the plus-minus column. for Indiana. But, I mean, from Davis's perspective, you're talking about a guy who, at his best, we've seen what he can do. We saw what he can do as a freshman with that Wisconsin game. You remember what he did against Duke last year. Obviously, he had the Achilles tendon tear. Before Saturday night, he'd only played 15 minutes this calendar year. He picked up that injury against Illinois where either he rolled his ankle or kind of, you know, in a scrum, somebody sort of stepped on his ankle. He missed the Michigan game. He only played 10 minutes across Maryland, Nebraska, and Purdue, and then he was shut down for three games. And I think that you really saw increasingly the tax, the strain that was putting on Juwan Morgan. But also, Theron Davis himself is a good post player. He's a good rebounder. He's a good rim protector. He's a decent shot blocker. He's got good post moves. He's also, you know, I know that modern basketball doesn't always have a place for kind of the old school big man, but I think that college basketball still kind of does. He's the kind of guy who relishes getting the ball, posting up inside, just one-on-one, bumping bodies and backing a guy down. He's really good at that. The four assists on Saturday night suggest he's a good passer. You're just kind of talking about a guy that I think has had this really weird stop-and-start career where fans just keep kind of forgetting what it looks like when Deron Davis is playing well because he's constantly just having to go back through the whole injury process, whether it's a small one or a big one. If he can stay healthy here, and it's worth pointing out, Indiana now has 5 days off before they play Iowa between Michigan State and Iowa. Then they've got 3 days off between Iowa and Ohio State. Then they've got almost a full week off between Ohio State and Minnesota. There's a nice little gap here in the schedule where, you know, a team that has obviously struggled with some big injuries this year, but also maybe some of those nagging, kind of niggling problems that maybe a guy's trying to play through, but he's less than 100%, or maybe he's just going to get shut down for a week or two here. There's maybe some opportunity to get a little bit healthier along the margins, and I think that could really help a guy like Deron Davis, because if he can stay healthy and Indiana can get Juwan Morgan back, and we'll find out more about that this week, obviously, then all of a sudden that sort of post-game at both ends of the floor just looks a lot healthier for Indiana.
Absolutely. Zach, any insight, and I know there's been nothing official said, you just said you hope to find out more later this week, but any insight on what Juwan's injury is? I mean, he left the floor, and I think there was mass concern, obviously, when you look at the replay and see it's a shoulder and you know the history there, and then he leaves the floor, and it's like, oh, no, you know, this is the worst-case scenario. And, you know, you forget about Indiana for just a moment. At least I did. You forget about their struggles and the fact that he's a key player and a senior leader, and you just think about him. And I thought about his future first, and, you know, he's going to play professional basketball at some level. Who knows if it will be the NBA or not. And then you think about his past and how much he's missed with injuries, and you're like, oh gosh, for his sake, no matter what happens with this team or this game, you just hate to see him miss any more opportunities to get out there and finish his college career strong. But then he came back from the locker room or the medical room or wherever he was. He came back, and if I'm right, he finished watching the game on the bench for some of the second half there. So any thoughts on that situation as a whole?
I mean, I know there's kind of word around, and I've heard it too. I've seen it on social media, and it's also kind of, you know, trickled its way to me that it may not be as bad as initially feared. I would say that, you know, nobody is putting anything official down. Nobody with the capacity or the authority to kind of declare an official diagnosis is saying anything definitive. It certainly did look like his shoulder, or at least like his upper arm. You know, it didn't seem like, you know, if it was, you mentioned him coming back to the bench on Saturday without wanting to read too much into it, because I think you can really go down a rabbit hole when you do stuff like that. You know, if it was really serious, if they feared it was really serious, even if they had not already taken him to a hospital or something to get, you know, further examined, you would imagine they would have at least immobilized the arm and or the shoulder. So I think that there's at least some early reason to be optimistic. At the same time, you also think back, you know, you mentioned kind of Morgan's history. You know, when it started happening his freshman year, it was essentially something he just played through until the end of the year. And you know, by the end of the season, it kind of got to a point where he'd play until it popped out. he would be out for the game. They'd treat him. He'd come back for the next game, and the process would repeat itself. Now, he had surgery to correct that, and he hasn't, to anyone's knowledge, really had any kind of repeat of that problem since that surgery, which would have been 2016. So there's every possibility that structurally things are stronger than they've been before, and maybe a quicker recovery and a more complete recovery is possible than it was when he was a freshman. But, again, you don't want to speculate too much. I think if you're Indiana, you do hope that some of these little signs are good. But I've also seen, guys suffer like serious knee injuries that just go walking off the field normally, and then it turns out that something structurally is really, really wrong. So I wouldn't, I guess my point is I wouldn't rush to judgment in either direction. I think we're going to know more as we hear from Archie Miller later in the week, maybe even on his radio show tonight. And then ultimately, as much as Indiana can game around injuries sometimes, we may not know until Thursday when Juwan Morgan comes out or doesn't.
Yeah, absolutely. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, our guest. I want to close with this today. Iowa at home on Thursday, Ohio State at home on Sunday. I say this every week, I feel like, and I get some grief from buddies. So you're always saying it's a big game. Well, with this team right now, every game's big if you want to have any hope to make the NCAA tournament. And I really feel like, and this is just common sense, if you follow, basketball, if they can go to Michigan State and win on the road, they should be able to beat Iowa at home. I mean, Iowa's solid, but they're not Michigan State, nor do they have the NBA-type level prospects and top players that Iowa has. And then likewise with Ohio State, they would even be a step behind Iowa as well. So two games that if Indiana wants to challenge for a place in the tournament, and just more importantly, wants to get some positive or continue some positive momentum coming out of Saturday, if they could win this week out, it would be huge, and it would probably be something that would surprise a lot of people based on the previous seven games before the Michigan State contest. What do you see this week, and how big is it, in your estimation, for these things that I've mentioned?
No, I mean, it's a fascinating week. It's a genuinely fascinating week to just kind of see how Indiana handles this, see how, I mean, that Iowa game alone is just a deathly curiosity to me. You've got two teams coming off of huge wins, Iowa at home, court storming against Michigan, Indiana on the road, so unlikely in prime time on Saturday night against Michigan State. Wins that, as good or bad as those teams might wind up being, are probably sort of always going to be considered above their station. I don't think either Iowa or Indiana reaches a point this year where you say, well, yeah, the true Indiana was the one that we saw at Michigan State. I think that's still going to be an upset kind of the whole year, if that makes sense. So that there's always that kind of intangible element, which team can come down faster, which team maybe can kind of get their focus back more quickly. I think from Indiana's perspective, on the one hand, these two games are a great test of whether or not Indiana's turned this around, because I think they're both winnable, but I think they're both tough. I think it really, really helps Indiana that they are at home. And I know that sounds simplistic, but I think that in a way it's almost kind of nice to just be able, after, that Michigan State was the last of six road games in eight, and now you get to come home for basically 2 weeks and focus on these two opponents. And the opportunity, as you said, is there. Iowa's 22 in KenPom. Ohio State's 32 in KenPom. I was talking to somebody about this on my drive home from East Lansing on Sunday. Indiana doesn't have to do a lot, really, to make the NCAA tournament this year. Like, they've already got three really, really solid wins. Marquette in November, Louisville in December, now Michigan State in February. If they make the tournament, then I think we can safely presume that they get somewhere around at least 19 wins. Doing that would mean that you would have beaten, Indiana's at 13 wins now with 9 games remaining. Doing that would mean that you would have beaten 6 of Iowa twice, Ohio State, Minnesota on the road, Purdue at home, Wisconsin at home, Michigan State at home. There's a ton of opportunities left for more quality wins for Indiana here. And if you can win these two and get to 15-9, get back near 500 in the conference, then I think all of a sudden I'm not saying you're safely in the field, but like according to Bracket Matrix, I think the number I saw this morning was that Bracket Matrix, for those who don't know, is a website that sort of aggregates all sorts of different NCAA bracket projections, even like the, I'm talking big ones to small ones, ones you've never heard of. And Indiana was already in something like 70 of 98 brackets when I looked this morning. So already Indiana's in, I mean, they weren't great. They were somewhere between like a 10 and 11 seed on average, but already Indiana is in decent position for an at-large bid. If the Michigan State game is kind of a turning point and Indiana can win these two at home, then all of a sudden you got momentum, you're adding quality to your resume, and you're giving yourself some of that margin for error that we thought Indiana had all but lost. But when you pick up what is frankly the biggest win in the Big Ten, or at least like in Big Ten play this season, the best win from an NCAA tournament perspective, and probably will be all year, that's how much it can change your fortunes. Now it's just up to Indiana, obviously, to reset and try to turn one win into two or three or four.
Well, Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, great stuff as always. Thanks for being with us, and we'll keep an eye on this team this week, and we'll talk with you about how it all goes next Monday.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, as always.
All right, Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us, the IU insider for the Star. Great work. You can read his coverage from the Michigan State victory at IndyStar.com/sports. Great to have the beat writer from the Star with us Mondays here on the program. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll flip the attention to some local stuff. Girls sectional championships either in the books or taking place tonight because of some weather last week. Also, boys results over the weekend, some good boys games, and also boys tournament coming up, pairings coming up before you know it. So a lot of local things. Chad Gilbert and I will talk some basketball coming up next right here on a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Okay, we're back on final segment here this Monday program. And if you listen on a regular basis, you know we go from Zach Osterman on IU to Chad Gilbert on local sports here in Southern Indiana. And I feel like each week, Chad, we kind of count it down. The girls' tournament is underway now. The boys' tournament pairings will be here before you know it. And we're within a month of boys' sectional action beginning. It's actually late February. The last Tuesday of the month is the start of sectional action here across the state of Indiana. But before we even do that, how about the win on Saturday for IU that I don't think anyone saw coming up at East Lansing?
Well, the thing about that win, what made it so special is, one, Indiana needed a win bad. But to do it on the stage that they did it, and arguably one of the hardest places in America to win at, on a primetime game, a college game day game, you know, that's remarkable. But what they have to do now is continue to ride that momentum, get healthy, and just keep their legs fresh for a stretch run. You know, I think they've got, well, they got 9 games left that they're going to have to really put their best thing, their best foot forward here to try to get in this tournament. And I think that this is a great springboard going in for the Hoosiers. And it's something, again, that you've just got to keep healthy, keep your legs fresh, and go out there and continue to compete. I think more than anything, the fans love seeing the Hoosiers compete and do their very best. And I thought they really stepped up to the mic on Saturday night.
You know, and that's one of the things you got to love about basketball and really sports in general. Yes, the majority of the time, if you went back and tracked it, the favorites win. I mean, there's no question about it, but every year, whether it's a sectional local or a sectional somewhere else around the state of Indiana, or whether it's the NCAA tournament at the highest level of college basketball, there's a major upset. And, you know, you can look at seeds that have lower seeds or mid-level seeds that have made it all the way out to the Final Four or even the national championship game a couple times, and it gives hope to those that maybe aren't, you know, the dominant team in their conference or in their sectional or whatever level of basketball or sports really you're talking about. But it's the great thing about sports, because you truly never really know what's going to happen. There's always an opportunity for that other team to come up with a maybe an unthought of win heading into the game. And It could have everything to do with that team's performance that's not favored, or it could have everything to do with the performance of the team that is favored, or it could be, you know, a bit of both teams, you know, one playing bad, one playing good on a night. But that's what you got to love about sports. That's my point. It's whether it's the high school, the college, or really even the professional level, which doesn't interest me as much now as what it did. You've got to love the ability to see upsets in sports, and that was a big one, and that can have a big impact on a team like Indiana if they could pull an upset like that and build on it moving forward.
Well, that's what makes it so much fun. It's kind of like the old Dumb and Dumber thing. You're telling me there's a chance. So that gives these guys hope coming down the stretch run. And, you know, and at that high level, you've got to bring it every night. A lot of that stuff on wins and losses have to do with matchups. You know, how well guys are, you'll match up with each other. Injuries come into play with those games. And then, you know, we talked about playing on the road, how hard it is playing on the road, because it just takes you out of your routine. I mean, guys are cramped up in a plane. You're not sleeping in your own bed. You're out of your element a little bit. So that's what makes it that much better. But the old adage goes, you know, when you're talking this high-level basketball, which the Big Ten is a high-level basketball, you win all your home games and half on the road, you're going to be in contention for a conference championship. And I think that's going to hold true this year as well.
Absolutely. Talking with Chad Gilbert. Chad is Charlestown's athletic director. He's also an IHSA executive board member. Are you getting any rest? You had a girls sectional last week, and you've got a regional this week. Am I right with that? I know you've got boys.
That's what we had, Matt. We've got boys sectional around the corner, but first up is this regional. But first, I want to talk about our girls sectional. What a great, you know, three nights. We had a six-team sectional. And our boys, we have a 7-team. The reason we have 6 and the girls is because North Harrison is bumped up to 4A due to the success factor. They will be back down in our sectional in 3A next year. But a 3-team or a 6-team section, we played 2 on Tuesday, 2 on Friday, 1 on Saturday. It was outstanding. I got to give a shout out to all the workers up here at Charlestown who really busted and worked hard. We have a top-notch facility, and they do a great job of keeping everything nice and running it first class. But our Friday night game, Salem versus Silver Creek, Brownstown versus Scottsburg, was the second biggest crowd I've seen here. The Romeo game last year was a sellout. It was standing room only. This crowd was second best I've ever seen, and the players did not disappoint. Both outstanding games. Salem and Brownstown advanced to the championship game, and they duked it out, and Salem came out victorious. You know, one thing coming into our regional, no one who's in here right now, we have Gibson Southern, who will be their first year here. Vincennes, who's been here 4 years in a row. This will be their fourth year. Salem will be their second year. And then we have the winner of tonight's game of Greensburg and Lawrenceburg to see who comes here. And we'll have our meeting tomorrow and go through everything. But the one fact, and I think all the coaches know this, is the team that has came out of our sectional, our regional the last 3 years has advanced to the state finals. Mm. So that shows you what the quality of teams that are coming in here to Charlestown this weekend to play.
Absolutely. Talking with Chad Gilbert. Boys tournament's just around the corner. A number of local teams continuing to play well. And I tell you, as you look down this final stretch, I could see a scenario where we've got a number of local teams that go on to win sectionals. Now, in some classes, it might be a little bit of a stretch because if you look who's in the sectional, there's some other tough teams, maybe not from our immediate area here in Clark and Floyd counties. But I could see a scenario where we've got a number of teams to follow in the boys tournament as well beyond the sectional round to play. And, of course, we still have some great regular season games to come before that closes and the one-and-done postseason elimination is here.
Oh, it comes to matchups again, and it's survival to advance what you get to that play. What's so beautiful about these games, like it even goes back to the IU game, is the best team, this isn't the NBA where it's best of 7. This is, you don't have to be the best team. You just have to be the best team that night in order to advance. And that's what, you know, you sell your team on, is just, and it continued to get better off of that one. As we go down the stretch, a big game tomorrow night is on tap at Columbus East with Jeffersonville and Columbus East. That game has Hoosier Hills Conference Championship implications involved in it, so it's going to be a huge game at Columbus East tomorrow night. As far as the Mid-Southern Conference goes, Brownstown has clinched the Mid-Southern Conference. They've got one more game against Eastern, and I think, you know, that they've got a tie right now. If they win that, they win it outright. So that was, going into sectional, you look forward to that Brownstown-Silver Creek rematch, and then in the Seymour sectional, you know, it's going to be a heck of a contest going out.
Chad Gilbert is with us and joins us on Mondays. The good thing is we've got all this coming up, sectionals, NCAA tournament. It looks like Indiana, you know, if they can win some games this week, and what Zach Osterman just said, you kind of – I've got a little bit more hope that they'll be in the tournament after the Saturday game and after listening to Zach talk about the bracket matrix thing that he's been following pretty closely. That would be exciting as well. And, of course, we've got, you know, Bellarmine locally as well. I haven't had time this year to talk as much about them as what we have in some past years, but I kind of had adopted them as one of my – local favorites, even though right now there's not a huge groundswell of Southern Indiana kids there. There are a number, though, and they just aren't from really our immediate area outside of Justin Betts of Providence. But, you know, they've got an opportunity to do something really special in that Division II tournament, and I really have enjoyed getting to some of those tournament games when they get to host, especially in recent years. So a lot of local things outside of high school and even Division I college to follow coming up. And we're getting ready. It's already a great time here with basketball going crazy, but we're getting ready to hit that sweet spot when all these tournaments begin because that's the best basketball of the year, if you ask me, when it's one and done and all on the line.
Oh, no question about it. And I think, Matt, this weather changing over the weekend, it kind of get it had that sectional, that March Madness
yes.
type feel
yes,
to it,
it
of weather. And I think that kind of gets your blood flowing and kind of gets things going. Bellarmine, one thing with you know, Coach Davenport, again, if I ever get back into coaching, I will try to run my program just like the Bellarmine Knights. However, my Southern Indiana Screaming Eagles, they got to come in there on Saturday night, and they ended Bellarmine's 67 home game win streak. So kind of bittersweet. You know, I'm an Eagle at heart. I love the Eagles. Coach Watson does an excellent job down there. You know, we've had a great run down there, a lot of fun during my life in Evansville. But, you know, to see Coach Davenport streak in, I hated to see that, but I was awful happy for my Eagles to get that win. Matt, one thing. I know we're running low on time, but did you see the Super Bowl yesterday? I love championships. I love the celebration after it. You know, there's just so much involved in winning a championship that if you never won anything, it's hard to figure it out. You just think championships are easy. But there's so much involved going, you know, way, way back. But did you see the celebration at the end? That looked like a Matt Dennison production. You know, all the details, bringing the guys back with the trophy, you know. And speaking of that, congratulations, by the way, for the event you put on this weekend with the Floyd County Elementary Tournament. It's the little things that you do, Matt, that make people remember, whether it's the introductions with the lights off, you know, cutting the nets afterward with one shining moment playing in the background. That's what those kids will remember, and that's what will keep kids being involved in basketball, being in Southern Indiana sports, and make our area that much better.
Chad, thank you very much. Thanks for your time today. We've got to go. Well, Chad will be back with us next Monday, and I'll be back with you tomorrow at 11 a.m. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison right here on the Big X Sports Radio.